Hey, welcome to the Starting Block here for another Thursday. I've got myself, Greeno, and I'm joined by a man who was puzzled what all the fuss was about people acting up after Melbourne Cup, because that's just a traditional Tuesday for him. My co-captain, Damo. How are we, sir?
Very good, Greeno. I'm always impressed by the, I'm pretty sure you just come up with these little intros just on the way in.
Pretty much.
Like on the fly. You don't think about it a lot, do you?
Oh, not a huge amount of effort gets put into it. I try and find something topical throughout the week. If I can think of a funny joke and I see it throughout the week, I will keep it in mind. Otherwise, I drive over here and I quickly flick on Twitter beforehand. I'm like, what's topical? Melbourne Cup. Come up with a joke.
Yeah, the drunken fillies. And we're not talking about on the course, but like off the course, in the concourse, Greeno. Mm. That's often a highlight of your Melbourne Cup day, your big race day, isn't it?
Well, that was article number one on news.com this morning.
Was it really?
It was
hitting the big topics, Greeno.
And I'm sure this young lady would have been very happy with the photo that was shown of her, where it was a bit of edge work. The dress was lifted up for the photographers and a bit of pantaloons action underneath, but pretty scantily clad under garment as well.
So. Did the Melbourne Racing Authority have to come out, make an apology, say we're all for equality and gender equality, therefore the photographer is in deep doo-doo over this picture?
No, because they showed pissed males as well.
Did they? Oh, okay. So that's your gender equality angle, as long as you show the lads. Yeah, was there any fly downage?
I was going to say there was no dong work, but it's, each to their own. We're not going to talk Melbourne Cup. Do you want to talk Melbourne Cup? Get out of the way?
I didn't watch the race. I didn't listen to the race. I don't know who the favourite was.
Yeah.
Because I thought this time, for the first time in history, I'm not going to get the paper and look through like all the horses and pretend to know like, oh yeah, they reckon this horse is pretty good. Yeah. Oh yeah, this one's come from overseas. It's won everything. You know, like, I thought, no, that's it. I'm going to boycott it.
Yep.
I'm going to have absolutely no interest whatsoever in the Melbourne Cup. So you should discuss it just to fill me in, Greeno.
Well, I had a similar level of interest. I learned 2 years back that there's no point studying the guide. There's no point listening to the so-called quote-unquote experts. There's no point looking at the form. There's no point looking at the odds.
Yep.
You pick the name that sounds the most humorous.
And the one with the pretty colours.
And the one with the pretty colours, because that's where I won the big bickies. So when I used to study, I'd win Jack.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I'm just going to throw this out the window. I'm just going to pick random ones. And I bet on a horse on the sole reason that it reminded me of an 80s video game that Bad Boy came in at 99-1.
What was the name of this horse?
Prince of Penzance, which reminded me of Prince of Persia. So that won me like $800.
That's a classic, Greeno.
So since then, my rule is, you're right, form guide's out the window. That's
Forget
done.
About it.
Let's not waste our time with that. Yeah. Let's find weird 80s references. So my money was on, who did I have my money on? It was some Elton John song.
Oh, okay.
It was
really?
One of them, yep.
Okay.
And
come on, you've got to know which Elton song. You're a big Elton fan.
I'm a very big Elton fan. I can't remember which one it was. It was one of his like smaller hits.
There's no such thing when we're discussing Elton.
I'll look it up in the, break and come back to you. Okay. I spent a bit of money on that. That got me squat.
Did a squat.
And then I had a bit on something else coming up with the other one is. And then I let the wife pick two. Yes. And then I let the daughter pick one.
The daughter picked one.
So she
just,
picked.
Just for the information for our listeners, how old is the daughter?
Daughter's two.
So
but she probably had as much chance of winning as any other mug punter out there by her random selection of just randomly mashing the iPad and picking a horse that way.
Oh, okay. Yep.
None of them won. I had to take $20 out of her birthday money to pay me back for the
bet. Because that teaches her a very valuable lesson about gambling.
Gamble responsibly. So she didn't come up with a winner.
I reckon most people listening to that would go like, oh, what a horrible father. Like, take her money out of account. You're teaching him young. You should get like a Father of the Year nomination.
Oh, yeah. You got to treat him right and treat him early.
Like when you consider some of the crap that we teach them in like kindergarten, year one, year two, where it's just going way out of control.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, this is like really adult stuff that we're teaching these kids now. Bit of gambling responsibility wouldn't go astray.
Bit of life preparation.
Plenty of problem gamblers wandering around who would have begged for that kind of treatment from their parents when they were growing up.
She's a smart little whipsnapper. So I made her sit there and watch as I counted the 20 that I took out.
Yes.
So we made it a game. Like, here you go.
Now
here's $1 you owe daddy. Here's $2 you owe daddy. And so on and so on.
Yeah, so it was educational. As well.
Exactly. Educational as well as, you know, teaching moral responsibility.
Okay.
So, who won the race? Rekindling ended up winning the race there.
Who? Ricky Lee?
Rekindling.
Oh, okay.
becomes the first Northern Hemisphere three-year-old to win the Melbourne Cup since Comedy King in 1910, and the youngest winner since Skipton in 1941, Damo.
There's plenty of records getting broken these days, even the horses, Greeno.
Even the horses. I want to give a tip of the hat to the young jockey who was caught up at the very last second. There was an injury. Because the jockeys, they don't just do one ride. They just don't ride the cup.
No, they're on and off all day, Greeno.
Exactly. So one of the earlier favourites, Thomas Hobson, I believe.
Thomas Hobson.
The jockey for that one fell off about two races early, had to go to hospital.
Right, okay.
So they're scrambling, going, I want to ride, want to jump on? They found a 12-year-old out the back.
Just wandering around.
He hopped on. Like, this kid, I looked him up.
He was into a Dagwood dog, and next thing you know, he's strapping up.
So we were watching the coverage at work, and we're like, hang on, now what? That kid looks 12. How old is he? Google him. Apparently, 18.
Stable hand.
Sure he is, sir. Yep. He hopped on, and the horse didn't do jack anyway, so not much of a muchness there.
Yep.
But tough luck for him. But you're right.
Tough shit.
Move on. You're right. The big thing to come out of it all, like, I don't care who won it, because I think the owner is already a billionaire. So it's like,
Oh, okay. Yeah, well done, congratulations.
Sir. Nice to see a battler get a win.
Just add it to the pile.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't care too much for the race. Let's talk about the work festivities. I had such low expectations.
Did you go into do you do a sweep, Greeno?
There was a sweep. We had the sweep. That one got around.
A frozen chook or something.
And everyone, it's a general rule. We haven't learned from a decade at work with the sweep. Yeah, because they keep on doing three, right? So you got the $2 sweep, the $5 sweep, and then the $10 sweep.
So can you explain the difference, what the difference in the sweeps is?
Each horse would cost $2 for the $2 sweep. Each horse costs $5, and each horse costs $10 on the $10 sweep.
Okay, fair enough.
And the prize money gets bigger depending on the sweep.
Sure.
Now, the thing is, every single year, everyone's like, give me the $2 sweep, give me the $2 sweep, give me the $2
sweep. Yeah, because everyone's a tight ass.
Everyone's
Greeno.
A tight ass. And then you get to the
end. You're getting,
end,
like, free lunch. You're getting, like, little drinks and canapes and stuff. Well, you don't get any of that?
That's part of the story.
Wow.
So,
sorry to ruin the story.
So, anyway, I was like, oh, yeah, I just want the $2 ones. Mm. And no one, as always, every other year for the last decade, no one buys the $10 ones. So then they have to go around harassing people for the back end of the day because they've only sold like 5 tickets out of the 24. Yep. Oh, yeah, we need like $20. Like, we've got 50. You need 50, you want 5 horses, give $50. I'm like, I'm going to spend $50 in a 1 in 25 chance. Not going to happen.
No.
But they end up finding enough people to harass to get the $10 sweep.
Okay.
Which brings me to the work festivities. So I spoke to my...
Sounds like pretty crappy festivities. You're getting harangued for money. There's no drinks. There's no canapes.
Well, they're ended up. So I was speaking to my
mate. I don't think you can even really consciously use the word festivity with and keep a straight face, Greeno. It's a flat out lie.
We'll get to that. So we get to the point of... So I spoke to my mate Matty the day before. And I'm like, dude, because he's basically in charge of the site. So I'm like, look, what's the go with tomorrow? Because I need to know. Because if there's booze, can't drive to the train station. Exactly. Got to make sure, drink responsibly.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, well, look, I'm not organising it. Operations organising it. As far as I'm aware, no booze. I'm like, well.
No booze.
Piss poor form.
Yeah.
Why are we even rocking up to work?
No booze, no work day.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned.
So anyway, we get to like 2 o'clock and they're like, oh, things are starting. I'm like, well, what things? Where we sit around awkwardly for an hour and do small talk? I'm like, oh, no, I think there's some nibblies and stuff in there. So I'm like, yeah, come back and see me when the race is about to start.
Yep.
10 minutes later, Matty comes out. He goes, man, there's booze.
Oh,
I'm like, well, hang on a second.
You bastards.
So now I'm doubly frustrated because I've got this like fine line of,
straight away, you're thinking, I've got to leave the car at the train station. Going to have to.
Well, no, not at all.
Going to have to Uber at home.
Going to have to Uber home. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen. It means I can only have one drink, which is a frustration of mine.
Yes, exactly.
Because if you're going to do it properly.
Do you reckon they teed that up on purpose so that people would like drive to work and whatnot in preparation, like, for the fact that there wasn't going to be booze, and in that way they would get away cheap because they knew all of these people knew that they weren't going to be drinking, therefore they wouldn't be able to drink too much?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe in the case, I don't know what the thought process was, because they didn't think it out too
whatever
well.
It was, it was deceptive.
Because all I know is the first question I got asked once I rocked up there, I go, oh, does anyone have a bottle opener? They bought no twisties, yet there's no bottle opener on the floor.
You're joking.
Thankfully, I had one stashed in my locker.
Of course, as you would,
Greeno. Greeno the saviour.
Greeno saves the day.
Saves the day.
You should have got a free ticket in the sweep for that, Greeno.
So in the end, there was booze, but I could only indulge in one.
Just
and
one.
And a few little crackers. A
little roadie for the way home on the train?
No roadie on the way home. I had a few when I got home, though.
I just want to say a big hello to the people joining us on Periscope, Greeno.
Is Ted Dabrowski in this?
Ted Dabrowski's in. He's our super fan. He's our number one fan. He's on the gear.
I don't want to get you excited, Ted, but we have an on the gear segment two.
Really?
There's an on the gear story, segment two. So
Ted Dabrowski's now coined a segment on the starting block.
He has, on the gear.
That's amazing.
Segment two. Stick around, Ted.
And I want to give it. Can I give a little nice Gary to Ted Dabrowski?
Oh, definitely. We can definitely do a nice Gary.
Nice, there you go. Gary!
A little nice Gary for Ted Dabrowski for coming over and help setting up the internet connection, Greeno.
Oh, it's Ted that popped on in.
That's Ted Dabrowski, Greeno.
There you go.
Well, so running cables through the roof.
And he hopped up into your filthy roof.
He went into my filthy roof. Yeah. Yes. He actually gave the roof a compliment. He said, I wish all roofs were like this.
Really?
Yeah.
What have I just done here with the lights?
I think you've just turned it up a bit. There you go. There you go.
That's better. There we move.
There we go.
Yeah,
he said, I wish all roofs were like this. It's not too bad. But yeah, he was up there for a couple of hours.
Is it nice Gary worthy or is it get down buffer A worthy?
It's definitely nice Gary.
All right, we'll stick with nice Gary for now.
It's definitely nice
Gary. Speaking of get down buffer A's.
Get down buffer A's.
Let's talk a little bit of Sheffield Shield.
Sheffield Shield, what happened in the Shield?
Because we've got a wrap. We've got the first. There's a high level of interest in the Sheffield Shield this first 3 weeks. For simple fact. That
so
we have
what,
no
been
idea who
dozens
has
of people in the crowd, or
yeah, or at least seven. we have no idea who's batting six, and we have no idea who our wicketkeeper is.
That's exciting, isn't it, for the Ashes?
And it's very disappointing because as soon as someone scores a 50, like is he a bowler?
Yeah.
Is he a bowler? He scored 50.
He's going to be a bowler for the Test squad.
He hasn't scored a run in 3 years, but he scored a 50. Lock him in.
Put him in at number six.
Let's have a look how they went. Queensland defeated Tasmania by 7 wickets in a very low-scoring affair.
Well, that's not good. Well, it's probably good for him.
Well, bowler's paradise down there in Tasmania. So Matty Wade would be ruining his decision to get down there and join the Tassies.
Yes, of course.
Scores of 9 and 17 probably not doing his test selection chances much help.
No, that's right.
Another guy who's out of the blue, suddenly under pressure, we talked about it last week, Matty Renshaw, 1 and 19.
Ooh.
Those 19 runs were scored off about 120 balls.
Wow.
He took the shine off but couldn't make the most of it. Nessa with 6 for 57 in the first innings, Feldman with 5 for 31 in the second, Bird with 3 for 41 in the first, and Joe Burns was the top scorer in the entire match with 70 runs.
He's a bolter, isn't he, for number 6? Lock him in for number 6, Greeno.
Out of that, Matt Wade, I heard, whisper is Damo.
Mm.
That bit of unhappiness down there in Tassie.
Oh, yeah. Already.
Because Tasmania don't want Matt Wade to be their starting wicketkeeper.
Really? Because they want Tim Payne.
And he was there running. They've been told by Cricket Australia, you have to pick him. You've got no choice but to pick pick Matt Wade because we want to see what he can do before the first test. So a bit of unhappiness there. And
Why wouldn't they be unhappy? See, this is a bizarre decision by Matty Wade to go to Tassie then, isn't it?
Well, exactly. They've already got Tim Payne. I think the fallout with Maxi in Victoria was a problem last year. Yeah.
It was that bad?
Apparently.
That bad. I don't know. Like, if you're Matty Wade and you're heading down to Tassie, like, isn't there other states that would probably fit him better? Okay,
Queensland. Queensland need a wicketkeeper.
Yeah, because he just retired, didn't he?
Chris
Hartley just retired.
Exactly.
You know, New South Wales is no good. Phil Neville, he's got that locked in.
Peter Neville.
You're
thinking of Phil Emery.
Phil Emery, yes, of course. You know, but Matty Wade, like, Cricket Australia are almost like...
They're ruining this competition.
They're dictators, but they've been doing it for years. Like,
that's a problem.
Telling people to drop players halfway through a game, like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, halfway. No, second innings. He can't bowl in the second innings.
Well, they've been...
We're deciding.
All states have been instructed.
Why would you be a coach?
Yeah. All states have been instructed to pick the young guys. So, Klinger's not playing.
It's incredible.
Ed Cowan's not playing. Two of the form players over the last 5 years of Australian domestic cricket.
Yep.
Yeah, they can't get a run. We're looking for a number six.
Yep.
Ed Cowan probably would be the best, most informed batsman to be selected.
Of course.
If he could get a bloody game.
Yeah.
That's
insane. I'm sick of this stuff.
Victoria versus South Australia ended in a very exciting draw in the end. South Australia, 322 in the first innings. Victoria with 345 in the first. South Australia declared 8 for 370, and Victoria started throwing the bat at it between Maxwell,
Finch. Did the bear
Finch,
play? Did the bear go?
No, too old.
Too old.
He can't get a run either. Can't pick him. 8 for 273.
We've
got
to give him a dick move. Dick move for Cricket Australia.
Definite dick move for Cricket Australia.
Put it on repeat. Put it on high rotation, the dick moves.
Have we got dick? We do have dick move.
Dick!
There you go.
That's right, dick move, Cricket Australia.
Yeah.
Now, here's where what made me laugh. Before the Sheffield Shield, had you heard of Jake Lehman as a possible test player?
Yes, but not for years and years.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they
were talking about this summer. Were they talking about him at six?
No, definitely not. Oh, is he a bowler, is he?
He's a bowler. He scored 103, Damo.
Oh, look out.
And he also scored 93. He's a bowler.
He's a bowler. He's more than a bowler. He should be captain.
Captain coach.
Captain coach.
Get rid of Dad. Put Boof Jr. in there.
Think of the jeans, Greener.
Tommy Cooper was 70. Travis Head was 67.
Wouldn't Tom Cooper be too old?
Well, Tom Cooper's too old.
Yeah.
He's at least 26.
26.
Scotty Boland with 4 for 71 in SA's first innings. In Victoria's first innings, you had Marcus Harris. If we're talking about possible replacements for Matt Renshaw, Marcus Harris has actually been probably the form opener in Sheffield Shield for the last 2 years.
Okay.
He's, since moving to Victoria, he's been absolutely killing it.
I still don't know if dropping Renshaw is the right way to go.
I don't think it's the right choice. I'm saying if they do...
Yeah, which they probably will because they're acting like absolute raving lunatics.
If we're picking
lunatics.
On form, yeah, I'm picking Marcus Harris.
Yeah, but we're not even picking state teams on form because all the form players are sitting on the bench because they're too bloody old,
Greener. Too old. At the age of 31.
Dick
Aaron Finch was 62. Maxie was 60. Now, Maxie scored 60 in the first inning, he's back in contention.
He's back in contention now.
He's done himself no harm.
What have the pond and the creek done?
We'll get to them. Okay. Sayers and Worrell at 3 apiece in that innings. In South Australia's second innings, Callum Ferguson, who played test cricket as recently as a year ago.
And he's only played, what, 2 or 3 tests?
Two tests before he was
two
dropped.
Two tests, yes.
182 not out, Damo.
Wow.
That's handy. Not counted as a boulder.
No, because he's too old.
He's too old, Damo. In Victoria's second innings, Maxie.
This is insane.
Maxie was 64. Peter Hanscom with 58.
This is insane. Have the selectors gone completely tropper? Have they forgotten, like, our most successful team was when they were all basically, like, 35 and over?
When they picked Hussey at the age of 34.
Yeah.
After scoring consistently 50.
Have they completely forgotten about this stuff?
Of course they have. Because their rationale is, we had a bit of success last year and we picked a couple of young guys.
So let's pick them all.
Wait, the one we're about to drop, Matt Renshaw. Aaron Finch with A54.
Let's just put an under-18s team in then.
Joe Many.
And then drop them when they turn 20.
Joe Many with 3 wickets.
They're ruining cricket, Greener.
The exciting game, Damo, a bit of interest in this one. New South Wales won by 171 runs. This was out of the blue. They were still batting at the end of the fourth, the start
Blues
of the fourth
out of
day.
The blue, Greener.
And came home to win at 171. I'll tell you how.
How?
Double hat-trick for Mitchell Starc.
You're a scrutineer.
Hat-trick in the first innings, hat-trick in the second innings. Unheard of.
The Mitchell Starc party whistle. We have got plenty of time, Greener.
New South Wales first innings, Smitty scored 76.
Double hat-trick?
Yep, double hat-trick.
Has that ever even happened
before? Apparently it's happened about 5 times in history.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing that it's
happened back to
five
the 1940s, 1910s with two
uncovered
examples.
Pitches and all sorts of stuff.
Exactly.
When they would be playing with a stick that they picked up in the local park, Greener, and not a bat.
Not surprisingly, the thing we get frustrated a little bit with Mitchell Starc back in the day was, you know, you're so quick, you've got that beautiful Yorker.
Yes.
When you're at the tail enders, just bowl fast at the stumps. They don't want to see any of this short shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Just bowl it at the stumps.
Exactly.
He did that, lo and behold, double hat trick.
Yeah, he swings and he knocks the middle pole out.
The middle pole out. Now, Smitty was 76 in the first inning. Peter Neville with 32 in the
first
innings.
Oh, he's a boulder. He's a boulder.
Well, we'll get to that.
Well, who else can play keeper?
Hang on. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, no. Please don't tell me. Not another kid, Greeno.
No. Well, Alex Carey did jack all in that South Australia game. He was the boulder to replace both Wade and Neville.
At least with Peter Neville, you know what you're going to get. He's going to be gritty. Like, sure, he might make a 20 and a 40 and the odd 50, but he won't give his wicket away.
No, exactly.
He won't throw it away.
He battles. You know, that's
exactly.
What
he's a fighter.
In WA's first innings, Cameron Bancroft carried his bat. 76 not
holding
out.
Holding the bat's probably handy when you're at the crease.
Yeah, that'll do. 76 not out in the first innings, 86 in the second.
Oh, he's a definite boulder.
He's a boulder because he got the gloves for Whiteman because Whiteman's injured.
Oh, yes.
Boulder as wicketkeeper, even though he's a part-time wicketkeeper.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Starc with 4 for 56 in the first innings.
Well, to be fair, Gilchrist was just a batsman who's decided to take up wicketkeeping later in his career.
He ended up being quite a good keeper, though.
He ended up being quite a good keeper. What's Benny like, Bancroft? Has he got any form?
Not really.
Is he okay?
He's had like one game as keeper.
That's enough. Put him in.
He's a bold, he's young.
He's a boulder, Greeno. He's not old enough.
That's the first time he's passed 50 in about a year, but that's all right.
Put him in. He could probably bowl a bit too, Kenny. Can he roll the arm over?
New South Wales second innings, Smitty with 127. So he's in good form coming into the Ashes.
Yes.
Curtis Patterson with 66. Neville.
When has Smitty not been in good form over the last
3 years?
4 years ago,
exactly. Neville, 11, not out.
He's a legend.
And here we go. You asked what happened with the Ponds.
Yep. That's the pond and the creeks.
The creek with a duck, Dave.
A duck with a creek. Get in there.
The pond.
Can we give him a nice Gary for getting a duck?
Just so, well done.
Thank you, Creek. Duck Creek.
The pond, however, Sean Marsh, 91.
Oh, he ruined it.
So he'll be in there for Renshaw, no doubt.
No, but he's too old, Greeno.
He's too old, you reckon?
He's too old. How old's Sean Marsh?
There's an embargo when it comes to Marshes. Age shall not weary him, Damo. Age shall not weary him.
I've never felt so accepted in all my life.
Back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Remember, follow us, Little Blue Bird, at the starting block, one word, drop the K at the end. Thanks for watching on Periscope, YouTube, Greeno Podcast, startingblock.podbean.com, all sorts of crap going. What are you looking at over
there? Is there a camera up on that that stand there?
There is there, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was trying to work out, I'm like, why is there a light coming through that stand? I was off-put by it.
That's the camera for the seat that's next to you.
I get it. Is that up and running at the moment?
Yeah. It's a four-man studio.
Oh, right, yeah,
so,
nice one.
Yeah, but there's only two of us, so.
But there's only three cameras.
There's one over your head as well.
Ah, that goes over to that table.
That's
makes
right,
sense.
Yeah. We've got it all sorted out here.
In the ad break, Damo, I saw this.
What did you see?
Thrown away. Maxwell Lament's blown Ashes chance.
You don't say.
Who would have thought he'd play a dumb shot to get out?
It's probably...
in a very inopportune situation.
It's probably a reverse sweep or something. Yeah. Like, you know, straight down to fine leg's throat.
That's it. Ran three quarters away across his stumps to just try and play a
he did knock the off stump out of the ground.
Reverse upside down shot or something.
Yeah, he was doing a helicopter bat swing and he fell over and hit his stumps in the groin. That'd be all sorts of carry on.
Vintage Maxi.
Yeah.
Now...
he's a superstar.
Rugby League World Cup fever kicks on.
Have you got the fever, Greeno?
I've got the fever. It's
a lot of close games, just looking, perusing over these scores here.
Just a couple, Damo.
Pretty tight games we've got.
That's the beauty of this World Cup, Damo. It's anyone's game.
Anyone
can win it on their day.
Anyone can win it.
Like those plucky Australians, Damo.
Those Irish, Greeno. Yeah. Never discount the Irish.
Right. And look out, Wales. Australia 52.
Is it even on TV?
Yeah, man. It's on,
on Channel
7. 7, mate.
Seven.
Yeah.
So who's commentating if it's on Channel 7?
It's actually a lot better of effort than you normally get from Channel 9. There's a bit of Danganane in there. There's a bit of Jim Wilson. A bit of Mark Geyer. There's a bit of Laurie Daly.
Loza. Doesn't Loza have a contract or something with maybe Fox Footy? Or?
Apparently not.
Okay.
He's tied to the hip with Daily Telegraph's Bulldog Richie Damo.
Oh, yes, he is.
He won't
of
let
course.
Him off the leash. Yeah.
Australia wasn't enough to save his job, though.
No, not at all. Right. Australia 52, France 6. Wade Graham scored 4 tries. That was surprisingly a competitive game for the first 20 minutes. If the game went 20, France were right in that.
Oh, right in it. Unfortunately, can't write anyone off, Greeno.
Fortunately, it goes 80.
France are a bolter.
They
for the Rugby League World Cup.
By the looks of it. If it's played over 20 minutes, lock him in.
Yeah. That's like they used to say, like, oh, he's the fastest runner in the game over 10 metres.
10 metres means he's...
But the field's like 100 metres long.
Mm,
so
exactly.
He's not going to get very far before somebody runs him down and tackles him.
Not a lot of good. this was probably the most competitive game of the weekend. Oh, second most competitive, I guess. Tonga 32 over Samoa 18.
Oh, wow. That's a close one.
There. Good war cry battle to
kick
that one off.
Yeah, they don't like each other, the Tongans and the Samoans.
Bit of passion in that one. Yeah. But the stacked
that's good because there'd be no passion, bugger all passion in any of the other games.
No, New Zealand, Scotland, not as much.
No.
New Zealand 74, Scotland 6. I think that was the third highest winning margin in history in the Rugby League World Cup.
Half of the Scotland team would be from New Zealand, I imagine.
Probably. Yeah. England 29, Lebanon 10. Robbie Farah couldn't get the plucky Lebs across
those
the line.
Plucky Lebs, Greeno.
This was the tightest game
There's
of the
no
weekend.
There's no team bus. It's just like a cascade of Geminis and Hemis, Greeno.
I like it. Papua New Guinea 14, Ireland 6 was the closest and most competitive game of the two.
Mm.
35 errors in that game, Damo. Oh, okay. It was a chore to watch.
Yeah.
It was a chore to watch.
Any boulders there? Or
no boulders.
No boulders.
There'll be no bolting from that particular game.
None whatsoever.
Italy 46, USA 0.
That's pretty
that
rough.
That can't be easy, Damo.
You know you're rough when Italy, even though like the heroic exploits of Captain Courageous,
Tele Campiesi. Yeah.
Even though he's on the team, he's probably worth 20 points all on his own. But even if he's on the team and you're getting done by 46 by Italy.
Yeah.
Gee, that's pretty rough. And you know, USA are always the ones where they're like, every couple of years, they come out and say, oh, you know, rugby league's really taken off in the USA. They really love their rugby league, those
Yanks. Story from the other week about Hayne being poached to some New York team.
Yeah.
That's right. That'd be good news.
And we were pontificating that he's going to have to work even harder on his fitness because of all the delis
exactly.
in New York City.
The Reuben sandwiches, correct.
You can't even walk to training without going past at least half a ton of pastrami.
Yeah, very good point. I was a little bit disappointed with the US there not scoring a point, especially when Italy were pretty much down a player for about 40 minutes with James Tedesco hitting on all the USA girlfriends during the game.
Oh, yeah.
And to wrap it up, a nice close one to finish off the weekend, Damo. Fiji 72, Wales 6.
Oh, good on Wales for getting 6 points there.
So the clock beat Fiji there, 72.
They were in it, though, the Welsh.
A bit disappointing.
They were in it up for the first 5 minutes, the Welsh.
How'd the Scots go? Scots got dusted, didn't they? 74-6 against New Zealand.
74-6.
Reason being is
it's a competitive World Cup. Anyone can win it.
They had three of their better players suspended because they were too drunk to board a flight.
Is that right? That doesn't sound like your average Scot, does it?
Danny Brough, Sam Brooks, and the appropriately named Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker, is that real?
Correct.
That's incredible.
We're too drunk to board a flight, banned from the rest of the Rugby League World Cup.
Why would they get banned?
Well, because they got too drunk. They couldn't even get on the flight. So they're like, nah, you've disgraced the beautiful history that is the Rugby League World Cup, Damo.
Of Scotland. We should give them a tip of the hat. They save themselves a lot of embarrassment by not going to the
thing
World
is,
Cup.
They've already got their hotels booked, so they just get to stay down in the bar for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, happy days.
Genius, boys, genius.
Very good.
Here we go, Ted, on the gear.
Ted Dabrowski. So we're going to have to try and maybe get some theme music for On the Gear. What do you reckon?
We'll think of some. See if Ted's got any suggestions.
Any suggestions, Ted Dabrowski, for On the Gear?
On the Gear as a segment.
Your segment yep. music.
And the immediate player for you. So last week we talked about Cooper Cronk signing with the Roosters and how the Roosters magically found some salary cap space. Yeah. Now, word got thrown around a little bit there.
Him and Tara, have they been house hunting?
I think they've already got the house sorted. That's fine.
Yeah.
Thing is, like how the Roosters fitting
in with
the cap.
It's just a bedroom and a garden around it, Greeno.
All you need. Yeah. All you need. Now, word around the campfire was that the Roosters were trying to offload a few contracts, and Mitchell Pearce being one. The other one was Jaden Nikorima at 350K.
Nikorima, Lovelace.
So they need some cap space, right, to sign Coops.
Yeah.
So they send off, they're like, hey, anyone interested? Anyone want Jaden? We got Jaden. Everything's got to go here at Crazy Nick Politis' warehouse. I got a
150 out here.
150 out here. Now, no takers, no bites. No one was taking the slug on the hook.
Nobody got to the vendor reserve.
Got to the vendor reserve. So, lo and behold, a week after this happens,
so you should have got Scotty Cam out there parading him around on the back of a ute.
Just trundling him about.
There you would have got a sell.
Surprisingly, who would have thunk it? A week after this, Jaden Nikorima apparently fails a drug test.
Looking
at being suspended.
Oh, dear.
So, apparently he's twice tested positive to illicit drugs, Damo.
Uh-oh. So, this
would
be strike three.
The week after, they couldn't get any takers.
Any takers.
Miraculously. A leak happens and the drug suspension may be upon him.
Okay.
Now, apparently he's got proof that he didn't actually fail this test.
All right. How's he going to prove that?
But this goes on the back of...
Because every time he takes a urine test, he keeps a B sample, right?
Yeah, of course. That's how he does it.
Yep.
Now, this goes on the back of a few whispers I've heard about the Sean Kenny Dow suspension.
SKD.
Now, they were trying to get rid of him halfway through the year.
That's right. Well, they did, didn't they?
And a week later...
Newcastle.
He gets set up, apparently, being caught with drugs in a club. Now,
you're onto something. I think I know where you're going. You're saying that these guys are doing this intentionally to get out of contracts.
No, they're not trying to get out of contracts.
The teams are setting them up.
There's tip. There was apparently, and this is what I've heard.
Okay.
This is allegedly.
Okay.
There was a tip off because, at the Ivy where he was caught with drugs,
yep.
There's a fair bit of gear around. Let's be honest.
It's a blow party.
Now, is it any surprise that out of all...
It looks like the Ice World Hoth in the Star Wars trilogy, Greeno. It's just snow everywhere.
Out of all the people, Damo, who were searched at the Ivy that particular night, it happened to be one Sean Kenny Dow. Do you think there might have been a bit of a tip there?
Wow.
To go, hey, you might want to go in and check this guy.
Yeah.
Here's a few dollars.
Ah, so teams are...
They need to clear cap space, and they can't
engineering,
sack them.
They're engineering sackings by setting players up with the drug charges.
Well, yeah, I think...
That would be incredible. That would be a bombshell. You heard it here first.
You don't think
on
that's...
Okay, board.
Come on, let's be honest here. Do you honestly think that there isn't a high... Like, not a high percentage, but let's call it at least 10% of NRL players...
It'd be more than that.
...on the gear.
It'd be more than that.
Now...
Sure.
Do you think the clubs are oblivious to all those players that are on the gear? And do you think that the marketing and media teams do a really good job of concealing all these things?
Well, that's their job.
Exactly. So as soon as they want to get rid of someone, do you think maybe the media team might not do as good a job as they used to?
That's, well.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no.
I'm putting it out there, Damon.
I'm happy for you to put it out there. Let us know what you think. That could go viral. That
could go viral.
That's fantastic.
All allegedly, though, Damo.
Yeah, just throw that in at the end.
Precursor that.
No, we're just spitballing.
I'm saying...
We're wargaming.
I'm saying, in a hypothetical situation, Damo.
If you were running the club and
maybe
you wanted to get away...
That's what I may do.
Get one of the players away.
The Mick Potters, Damo.
The Mick Potters, what do we got?
I saw this. We had Desi as our early favourite as a new Mick Potter.
Yes.
But I'll tell you who's definitely getting amongst it.
Have we got a boulder greener?
Madge McGuire.
Madge McGuire's the boulder for the Mick Potters.
Michael Maguire talks about interest in coaching New South Wales following his departure from South and his recent trip to Africa.
Ted Dabrowski says he knows a good lawyer.
He does. Excellent. Thanks, Ted. Might come in handy after this episode. Speaking of lawyers, Damo.
Yeah, have we got court dates?
Might help if this is an order.
What have we got?
Where's the NRL court dates, Damo?
It's on there.
Where?
NRL
I can't
court
see it.
Dates is on there.
There we go.
You wanted an alphabetical order, don't you?
I did. Yeah, there we go. A little bit of AFL court dates. Now...
Okay. Who we got? Not Jamie Elliott again.
Collingwood star Jamie Elliott was arrested and fined for being drunk in public earlier on Sunday morning.
What was he doing, Bruno?
Elliott was caught urinating into a wheelie bin, Damo.
See, is that an arrestable offence? At least he's putting garbage where it belongs. Like, yes, it's not a toilet, per se.
Well, here's what he was
the wheelie
arrested
bin.
For. So, police arrested a 25-year-old man for being drunk in North Melbourne early Sunday morning. His understood Rich Play was seen urinating in a bin about 4:50am. He was released and fined $634. For being drunk in a public place. Now,
it's not that bad.
That's not too bad. I can stop that. Yeah. Now, that's all well and good. But I'm saying, since if being drunk in a public place is a arrestable offence, I want to see all those arrest slips from the Melbourne Cup yesterday.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Yeah, back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Just came across this little tidbit, Damo.
Yep.
Tell me what we think of the logic in this. The Rugby League World Cup Kangaroos quarterfinal will be played in Darwin.
Darwin.
That's going to go well. With
it's going to be bloody hot.
48 degree temperatures. Great conditions to play footy.
Do you remember earlier in the year when we floated the idea that they should have the Logies in
Alice Springs
Green?
At an abattoir, I believe.
An abattoir. Yeah, we'll set up a makeshift abattoir in Alice Springs with the rock in the background, like through the plastic. You'll have to get some kind of guy to wipe it down because there will be condensation, of course.
Mm.
I mean, let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah,
but it's nice to see the big sports embracing the Northern Territory Greener. I know the AFL players really love going up there and playing 2 hours in 40 degree heat.
Oh, they love it.
They enjoy
and that's in the
immensely.
Middle of winter. This is summer.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, NRL.
Yep.
I think that's the national board.
That's
or
a very,
it is
very sweaty dick move, Greener.
Very sweaty dick move. Yep. And that's the worst kind of dick move, Damo.
Yep.
Sweaty one.
Yeah. What about the other dick move if we can just transition back into Melbourne Cup talk, Greener? You were talking about during the ad, Michael Jackson's daughter gets 100k just to rock up to an Emirates marquee and sink piss all day.
Yeah, pretty much. And basically her biggest contribution to the day was about yelling abuse at reporters.
Is that right?
And putting her face up against the glass and sticking her tongue out. $100,000
for that.
Firstly, she hasn't done anything.
She's got talent, that kid. She's going places.
She's definitely going places. And secondly, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
On 100k to sink piss and do nothing and just be obnoxious.
Well, you could
with no discernible talent.
If that's the level of expectation, I mean, you know, how silly of her to, you know, how silly of the reporters to expect her to like talk to them when she's getting paid 100k to be like the face of some company, right?
Yeah.
But if that's the expectation we have, then I could literally go out into the car park at Flemington and find 10 slappers, random slappers who would do the exact same job for $50.
Yep.
$50.
I won't say what I was going to say.
$50, Greeno. That'll get it done.
Get in trouble for that
That'll
one.
That'll get it done.
World Series, Amo, we were in the unenviable situation where Game 7 went to air after we recorded our show.
What were you going to say?
So, no, I'm not going to.
You're not going to do it.
There's more perverse sexual moves
okay.
that I was going to reference.
It's a family show. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Family show.
So we didn't get a chance to talk about what happened in the finale because we were all locked up going into Game 7,
oh,
baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. And you refused to do the professional thing and just head into the studio, give the fans a little 10-minute rap.
Yeah.
Of the start of the show.
That is correct.
About the World Series. Did you enjoy the last game?
It ended up being the most boring game of the all.
Because the Dodgers choked, didn't they?
They threw it away. Choke. The Astros just pitched really, really well.
Okay. Verlander again, was it?
No, this one was Lance McCullers. Actually, it was a combination of Lance McCullers, Brad Peacock, and Charlie Morton.
Okay.
Three names you probably wouldn't know.
Never heard of
but,
them.
But absolutely carved it up. So
the two guns didn't play.
No, well, Verlander only pitched the day before, so he couldn't pitch. And the other gun, he was warming up in the bullpen, but Morton was pitching lights out. So they just kept him rolling.
Okay.
Kept him rolling, got him a win. Yeah. So the Astros won 5-1 to take out their first ever World Series.
Congratulations.
Yu Darvish, who was picked up at the trade deadline by the Dodgers as their big acquisition, he looked terrible. He ended up getting absolutely smacked. They got the 5 runs off Darvish, and then they had to pull him after second. They had to go to the pen.
Wow, the manager. That's got to be your pitcher's worst nightmare. Like, Game 7 of the World Series and a manager coming out and taking the ball off you.
Yeah, well, basically...
Doesn't get much worse than that.
They say it's a mental thing with you because...
he's a choker.
But no, well, the thing is, he puts so much pressure on himself that in the games that mean the most, he stresses out the most, doesn't sleep, and just gets too tight and just can't hit his spots.
Got a bit of the Peyton Mannings about him, Greeno.
A little bit. However, Peyton Mannings has won two Super Bowls.
He's not the greatest of all time.
No, he's not the greatest of all time.
I was watching a guy on Periscope the other day, Greeno, PD. Shout out to PD.
Yeah. Why isn't PD watching now?
Porch Dick. He was...
No shout-outs if they're not watching, Damo.
No, he's not watching, no. Yeah, he's not a big fan of Australian sport. But just in
when
regards...
When have we talked about
he's
Australian
a big,
sport?
He's a big Patriots fan,
Greeno.
It's about
6 minutes of Australian sport in
he's
this
a
whole
big,
show.
He's a big Pats fan, Greeno. Mm. So he was actually having like a little tiff with his wife live on Periscope.
Yeah.
And he said to her, listen, I'm going to come back there later on into the bedroom and I'm going to make you wear the what's the guy's name again? The quarterback?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. He says, I'm going to make you wear the Brady jersey so I can imagine that I'm the GOAT.
Yeah.
The greatest of all time.
There
you go.
Yeah.
That's a way to deal with it.
It's a little bit of homoerotica there.
Homoerotica, great, eh? He's like, go Pats!
Yeah.
I laugh my head
take off. A few downs.
Oh, it was fantastic. Have you ever tried to pull that move?
No. Well, that's the last thing I want.
Throw on the jersey, babe.
Well, why would I want to... favourite sporting superstar.
Well, you could get her to throw on the sticky.
I could.
Get her to throw on the stick.
That's the last thing I want. That's all kinds of wrong. Lance McCullers, who started, hit 5 batters in 2 1/3 innings. That's pretty handy.
Didn't concede
too many runs, though. Yeah. They then turned to Peacock and Morton to close it out the rest of the way. Liriano and Davinsky pitched for 1 batter each.
Comment on Periscope, Yanks are weird.
Yanks are weird. Yeah, in general. Yeah, definitely.
All of them.
Now, Brennan Morrow joins his old Class A coach, Dave Niles, from the 73 A's, the only pitcher ever to work in all 7 games of the World Series. He was a workhorse, Brennan Morrow. Players to homer in 4 straight World Series games. George Springer. Who they wanted to drop after the first game.
Georgie.
He joined Reggie Jackson and Lou Gehrig. Pretty handy names there he joined. Okay. Charlie Morton, who ended up closing this out, signed a multi-year deal in the offseason. Everyone's like, who? What? Why are you giving him a deal? That's terrible. Turns out, pretty good idea.
Okay.
Springer was the World Series MVP. You know about the Sports Illustrated cover, Damo?
No, tell me about it. Tell me the story about the Sports Illustrated
2014,
cover.
The Astros sucked. They'd lost 100-plus games for like the third year in a row, but it was all part of their plan.
Yeah.
It literally was. They were tanking for 4 years to get all the good draft picks.
Okay.
So there was a Sports Illustrated cover that...
You wouldn't want to be a Houston player during that time, would you? Would you know the story? Like, would the coaches say to you, look, mate, we're just going to lose for the next 4 years.
It was an open secret.
We're going to get all the gun draft picks, and then we're going to sack you. Because they'll be better than you.
Well, no, the guys that were there that were the stars that we had to see out that, a couple of them managed to stick around. So
really?
They're sticking. So what Sports Illustrated in 2014, their cover said, your 2017 World Series champs, Houston Astros, the World Series MVP, George Springer, was their cover.
Right.
So they predicted it 3 years in advance when they'd lost all these things.
Wow.
And lo and behold, Houston win the World
Series. That's amazing, Greeno.
Sorry, June 2013 it was. Was it longer than that?
2013, 4 years in advance they predicted the World Series win.
Correct.
That's incredible.
Second time in 4 years a team that went through a huge disaster slash attack wins the World Series in the same year, both
yes.
Boston and Houston.
That's true, yes.
Boston strong and Houston strong respectively.
Yep.
George Springer, he had a series, Damo. Mm. 8 extra base hits, most in a World Series. 5 home runs, ties a World Series record. 29 total bases, most in a postseason series. And
prophetic.
That's pretty much it.
Yep. Well done.
Gets us to our exciting time, Damo.
Georgie boy, what have we got?
Because I've got the pot on.
Oh, it's hot stove time, baby.
Hot stove time, baby.
It's hot stove, baby.
This is when we talk about the mundane, the random things that happen in the offseason.
No,
the
you
trades,
take that back. This isn't mundane. This is
we
the
love
stuff.
It. It's up there with domestic stuff. Cricket as our favourite segment.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very excited.
Is it bubbling yet? Have you... So, walk us through it.
So, basically, the pot is on.
Yeah.
The water's in. You know when you see at the bottom of the pan?
No, wait. Did you put, like, you know how you put, like, hot water in the pot to speed up the boiling process? Mm. Did we do that, or was it just cold water straight into the pot?
Based on this week,
yep.
I went the warm water.
Warm. Lukewarm?
I've just gone standard warm. You know, I've got the nozzle half between hot and cold.
Yes.
Whack that bad boy up.
Well, half between, I think, is lukewarm. I think you're going to have a little bit more than half.
I put
just
it in the
touch.
Middle. So, okay, we'll call it lukewarm.
Okay.
In the pan. Pan is on a high heat.
High heat.
We're at the point now where a couple of little bubbles at the bottom.
Oh,
you know
yes.
we see the bubbles where you're kind of like, hey, this bad boy's about to get some boil action.
It looks like flat soda water.
Looks like flat soda water. That's exactly where we're at this point in the hot stove, Dan.
Beautiful.
Here's what's happened. Justin Upton chose not to opt out of his contract. That now means he gets to enact a 5-year, $106 million contract with the Angels.
Thank you very much.
That's for not going.
That's for not
leaving. Sticking around. He gets 5 years, $106
million. That's incredible.
Nats announced a mutual option with Adam Lind has been declined. He's a free agent. It was a $5 million option. Ichiro Suzuki, who has 3,080 hits in 17 MLB seasons, is a free agent after the Marlins declined his 2018 option.
Okay.
Johnny Cueto's agent, Bruce Dixon, confirms that Cueto will not opt out. He's sticking around as well.
Sticking around.
He's getting a 4-year, $100 million contract as well.
Wow.
And the Royals extended a $17.4 million qualifying offer to outfielders Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, and Mike Moustakas.
That's some good hot stove there.
That's a very good hot stove.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We'll go on a quick sad note with the passing of MLB legend today, Roy Halladay, who tragically died in a plane accident early this morning at the age of 40.
Young.
Yeah. Crazily sad situation. And one of a large number of... MLB players or past players who died in like tragic circumstances over the last like 2 years. So thoughts are with his family there. Can't go out on a sad note, Dame. I've got to go out on a high note.
Well, that'd be a first one.
That'd be a cool
that'd
one.
That'd be
good
a first
time.
High note.
Crazy me. NBA stat, Damo. Fewest days with a losing record in the NBA since 1997.
Okay, this will be good.
922, the Utah Jazz.
Yes.
This is the
that
fewest
is,
days.
That's pretty crazy
sub
already.
Sub 500. 922 days since 1997, they've been sub 500. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles Lakers with 874. These are the top five, by the way.
Yep.
Houston Rockets with 856.
Yes.
Dallas Mavericks with 771. Days under 500 since 1997.
Yep.
San Antonio, 48.
Wow.
Station, 89.3, 2GLM. News and information, all day, every day. 89.3, 2GLM.
Somewhere befuddled in there was the Mitchell Stark party whistle.
I want to skip to the party whistle one because it's still like.
Do you want to hit it again
away.
Now? Because it's a great
your
day.
Your local station, 89.3,
2GLM. So party whistle means we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
2 minutes, Damo. We've got two options. We can talk about V8s, which none of us watched, even though the championship's going down to the last round and it should be a cracker. Jamie Wincup and who else? Scotty McLaughlin. Fighting it out.
Wincup will probably win it again. How many has he won? Like seven?
Six.
Six?
Six. Or, oh, no, he's going for his six, I think.
Going
so
through
he's got
six.
Five going for his six.
So McLaughlin that'll probably count for something in the end, won't
McLaughlin
it?
Was third and second, respectively, in the races, and Wincup was fourth and first, respectively.
Okay.
Now,
I still want to talk about the Spurs. That's incredible, that statistic.
That's that. Well, we're just talking about that.
And I'm glad that Houston's so like low on the ranking as well. That's pretty good from the Rockets.
They've been a pretty consistently good team for the better part of the last decade or 20 years as well.
Yep.
We're saying like that's about
just no championships.
That's about five roster changeovers in 20-year span, but they keep their players. Yep. So they keep Robinson, they kept Duncan, they kept Ginobili, they kept Kawhi Leonard, they kept Parker. They just keep on keeping their players. So good on them. And Popovich is a
super coach.
Absolute super coach. Move up to fifth all time in the NBA. wins list.
Fantastic stuff.
So I still got a few people to pass. Yeah. My question is, I know there's still another Shield round to go. Who are you picking at six?
Who am I picking at six?
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely not picking any of the Bolters.
Yeah, Bolters out.
It's you know what? It's a good question. I just don't know. Why wouldn't you throw a Lehman in just for the sake of it?
Yeah.
Just for the sake of it. Lehman. But has he got enough form? Probably not.
No, he hasn't.
Probably not.
He scores leading into this Shield round.
Give Cameron White another go.
No, if I can do that, I'm getting Ed Cowan back.
Ed Cowan?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, but he's an opener. He won't play number six.
He batted during the middle order for New South Wales last year.
Did he really?
Scored all his runs.
Okay, well, then throw him in.
That'd be the ultimate boulder.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a run in New South Wales. Comes in, saves Australia at six.
What about you? Who are you picking?
I'm going to think about it because we're out of time.
Okay.
I'll get back to you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that.
Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the